I realized what is lacking in 2024 is a professional society or an organization, like a professional home for physicians and other healthcare professionals that want to work on the in the AI and medicine space. So I decided to start this not-for-profit organization, which is very similar to, say, the American Heart Association, and to have as our mission to educate doctors, computer scientists, resident doctors in training, medical students in training, anyone that's interested in being in the AI and medicine space. Our organization is a professional home, a society where we can gather and work with each other on improving healthcare worldwide. Welcome to the podcast of the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine. I'm Mel Spiceman, the president of the American College, and here with me today is our podcast host and producer, John Holmblad.
Hi, everybody. I'm here with Mel, my good friend and doctor, and foremost expert on artificial intelligence in the medical world. I really just wanted to ask some questions to get a better understanding of what all that's about. How is artificial intelligence affecting the medical world today here in 2024?
It really has had a dramatic effect in the last year, and I'll give you examples. But what I want you to recognize is this, that 2 years ago to this date, ChatGPT was released by OpenAI. Prior to that time, unless you were like a really expert person in computer applications to medicine, it was under the radar. And when ChatGPT was released to the public, it was transformative, not just in the medical world, but everyone worldwide was trying to figure out, how can I use this large language model to help me in business, in law, in my everyday life? And so, in regards to the healthcare system, I will just say this. Most people feel that where AI is going to be for good, for the benefit of the world, is applying it to healthcare. And prior to the 2 years ago, prior to releasing the large language models, AI applications in medicine were there, but were way under the radar, not really known by doctors. Whereas now, AI is at the forefront worldwide of all things, and so, not surprisingly, it has become the focal point in the last 1 year of what is happening in healthcare. Now, I've been teaching medical students and residents and attending doctors for 30 years. I'll just tell you this, John, in the last 1 year at the University of Illinois College of Medicine, almost every speaker that was invited to give a grand rounds lecture talked about how AI was being used in their specialty. And we had a scholarly activity day that they've had every year for a long time. The entire conference was about artificial intelligence and how it's used in medicine. The keynote speakers were world-renowned people who are talking about how to use it in radiology. At my national meeting for the organization that I'm a member of, the Internal Medicine Organization, which is called American College of Physicians, the keynote speaker this year was Eric Topol. He's a cardiologist out of Scripps. His keynote address was on artificial intelligence in medicine. Now, I've attended this conference every year for 30 years. This is the first time ever that the theme of the talk was artificial intelligence in medicine. What I'm trying to tell you, John, is that every hospital, every medical center, the entire focus in the last 12 months is how are we going to use or leverage artificial intelligence to make patient care better. And this just literally came out of nowhere, and the driving force behind it is OpenAI's release of ChatGPT. And now that people have this tool at their fingertips, everyone is trying to use it to improve whatever it is that they're doing in their daily lives. But when you're a physician, we're trying to use it to improve patient care. So it's taken over the medical world by storm. I just attended in Orlando the national meeting called AI Med 24. The enthusiasm amongst both physicians and computer scientists and healthcare leaders is so incredible for how we're going to apply AI to patient care. It's the energy level is incredible, and the growth exponentially of publications on this is just so explosive. This week, a JAMA paper got so much attention in terms of AI diagnosing diseases versus a physician. So this is just literally at the forefront, not just of medicine, but of worldwide, of what the discussions are almost on a daily basis.
It's awesome. I think as someone who's not in the medical field, you know, professionally or really at all, I think it's good to hear that you guys are utilizing AI as a tool to further progress healthcare and provide better treatment. I mean, because as a normal person, we would think the intersection of AI and the medical field would be limited to people using it to cheat to get into medical school and through medical school. But the fact that you guys are using it even at the top levels as professors and educators is actually really cool. I guess what's your vision for the college as far as that goes with, you know, artificial intelligence and medicine?
Well, as I got involved with this while I was a professor at the University of Illinois here in Chicago, the College of Medicine, the head of neurology was hosting conferences on the East Campus on the computer science side to bring physicians over to meet with computer scientists. And I met with departments of computer science, heads of departments of biomedical engineering, medical informatics experts, all at the University of Illinois. And I realized at that time, to implement artificial intelligence in medicine, doctors needed to collaborate with computer scientists and other experts in biomedical engineering and informatics, and that without this kind of collaboration, we would not be able to make the amazing changes that I'm hoping for in healthcare. So I worked on building this kind of teamwork between computer scientists, biomedical engineers, informatics specialists, and physicians. And I realized what is lacking in 2024 is a professional society or an organization, like a professional home for physicians and other healthcare professionals that want to work on in the AI and medicine space. So I decided to start this not-for-profit organization, which is very similar to, say, the American Heart Association, and to have as our mission to educate doctors, computer scientists, resident doctors in training, medical students in training, anyone that's interested in being in the AI and medicine space. Our organization is a professional home, a society where we can gather and work with each other on improving healthcare worldwide. So we do most of this interaction virtually via Zoom meetings, but I am planning, as most organizations do, to have a live annual meeting every year in Chicago. So September 20th, 2025, less than a year from now, I'm going to have the scientific session at McCormick Place for the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine, where we'll bring together professors of medicine nationwide who do research in this area with PhD computer scientists, with healthcare leaders, and with anyone who's interested in trying to make healthcare better using AI as a tool.
That's cool. So you think going forward, I mean, this, you know, my perspective, going forward, do you see like doctors and surgeons going into procedures with things like the Meta Ray-Ban type things going forward, and then maybe have another colleague that's across the country, like in their ear, talking to them and seeing what they're seeing, and so they can collaborate on treatment and things like that? Anything like that?
You're right, John. I bought the Meta Ray-Ban glasses almost immediately when they were available. So I have a pair that I wear almost every day. Though the VR type goggles and the companies that make them, there is a lot of work in this AI and medicine space on trying to use it to teach people surgery or to find applications for patient care. So yes, there's intense efforts right now in the area you mentioned of wearing goggles or glasses and using that in the ways to help patient care. So not only do I see that happening, it is happening as we speak. And there's almost every day there's a lot of meaningful work about that that's being posted. And so I know the companies that create those products are actively looking at healthcare applications. So it's not like, will it be done? It's already being done. It's just a matter of when it will be implemented, and certainly soon it will be implemented.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
So the other thing is I wanted to share with you is, let's say you go to see your doctor today, right now.
Yeah.
I want to give you some examples of how artificial intelligence is being used. So, for example, if you were to see a doctor at Northwestern Memorial Hospital downtown, they have a department now of artificial intelligence and medicine that's run by Abel Co. And Abel has worked on, as many others have, a system whereby you can just have a conversation with your doctor in a very empathetic way, where he can make eye contact and really listen to you without being on the keyboard. It's called an ambient listening system. It's like, we all know about the Alexa speaker. It's essentially an Alexa speaker type technology that listens to the entire visit. The doctor doesn't have to type into the computer at all. Mm-hmm. And when the visit is ended, your electronic medical record will have been generated by the conversation, including the problem list, including the diagnoses, including the coding and billing for everything. But it's not only being done at Northwestern. There are many places that more than one-third of healthcare systems today are using an ambient listening system to record the visit, generate the electronic medical record notes. This is already in place. So Rush has connected or has a partnership with a company called Suki, S-U-K-I, that has their own version of this ambient listening system to write the doctor's notes. Mm-hmm. And there's another company called Abridge, which is led by a cardiologist that's been developed by the university world that I'm part of, that's being widely used by many of the large university health systems throughout the nation. So there's many, many companies out there that have all patented their own version of these ambient listening systems. And it's Rush implemented it in March of this year. Northwestern implemented it this year. I know nationwide, I recently looked into this, over one-third of health systems now have implemented such an ambient listening system. So it's already in one out of every three doctors' offices. And I know if we have this same conversation again 1 year from now, almost every doctor's office and hospital will be using AI to listen to the visit, record it in the electronic medical record. But not only that, to help with diagnosis and treatment plans and innovate in all kinds of beneficial ways for patient care. So this is how AI is actually being used in patient care right now, today, in a way that is so good for improving patient care, for improving the quality of care. And more, and most importantly, and this has been spoken about by so many people at my level, which is it has restored the doctor-patient relationship. And what I mean by that is when I started practicing 30 years ago, if you came to see me, I could make really good eye contact with you. I could listen. We can build a relationship over 30 years. And I would write it after the visit. I would just take a pen and write everything down on a paper. And I would be done in moments. Now, the problem with that, as you already learned today, is you wouldn't be able to read what I wrote, right? Yes. So, and other doctors might not be able to read what I wrote, and it because it's on paper, unless you requested the copy of the records, which was an onerous task, other doctors wouldn't be able to see what I wrote. And so, but there was a wonderful doctor-patient relationship. So, a few years back, the laws in the U.S. were changed in such a way that essentially everything got converted to an electronic medical record, meaning I could no longer write by hand my visit with you. So what we know today is if I, for every 1 hour of patient visits I do, like recently when I was doing patient visits at the University of Illinois Primary Care, I was scheduled one patient every 20 minutes, 8 hours a day. That's 24 patients a day. For every 1 hour of patient visits, the human being, the doctor, has to, it requires 2 additional hours on the electronic medical record, typing it all in.
That's all.
So if you do the math, if I saw patients for 8 hours a day, and I had a 1 hour lunch break, that's 9 hours, that 8 hours requires 16 hours of documentation on a computer. That's more than 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So because of this, more than half of physicians are dropping out of patient care or being a doctor because of it's almost humanly impossible in the current model to see 8 hours worth of patients a day and then document 16 hours. So there's something called pajama time where you drive home, you put your pajamas on, and then you eat quickly a meal with your family, and then you spend the next however many hours till you pass out on the computer trying to type in what the patient told you during the day. And you might not remember every little detail. And so doctors in the last few years have become data entry clerks. And there's no way around this. And so many have quit the medical field because they're unhappy. And I know many that have left healthcare because of, and it's to say we're losing like really talented, brilliant, experienced physicians because of this requirement to do the electronic medical record. So I hope you can see that this AI has essentially solved this. It has restored the doctor-patient relationship. Like, I went to medical school and trained because I want to sit and do this with you and build a relationship, not just solve your diagnosis, but it's a lifelong relationship that we build of trust between you and I. And that has been lost because of this documentation, this keyboard glued to the keyboard. You just see the back of my head as I'm typing away. That wasn't like that a few just years ago, but it's shoulder. How it's become that. Yeah. And so I honestly believe that this implementation of AI, ambient AI systems for writing the note, will restore the doctor-patient relationship. That's only one example of how AI can be used for healthcare. But that's how it's used today, and you will experience it when you go and see your doctor at Northwestern right now.
Now I'm going to be looking for it. It's cool to hear that it's actually assisting you guys so much and making the job easier, more tolerable. You might even be able to see more patients because it's freeing up time and whatnot. I guess the next question I have might be a little controversial, but do you see AI coming into medical at all and having an adverse reaction? Or really what I'm getting at is eliminating jobs, right? Because that's what everyone likes to talk about, is AI is going to take over the workforce and people are worried about losing their jobs. What kind of jobs, if it did go that route, could be in danger of...
Yeah, John, AI? I love that question. It's a brilliant statement. There's two parts to that question that I want to answer. So first of all is, you know, our organization is actually listed on our website, and our mission is AI for good. And the reason that we're saying that is, you asked, well, can AI be used in an adversarial way? And of course, AI can be used for bad. That's why our motto, our mission is AI for good. So aside from, you know, that, there's a lot of fear amongst both doctors and the general public about, could AI be harmful? So my answer to that piece is, you need physicians that are scholarly like myself and my colleagues worldwide, who are trying to, when we build these AI systems, anticipate the harms and prevent the harms by creating an AI that has already eliminated bias, has eliminated the negative possibilities, that has been tested in a rigorous scientific way for potential harms. And then back to your second point, will it eliminate jobs? What I want to speak to is, when I teach about AI, and by the way, this is my niece.
And co-producer. And
her, right, she is the co-producer of the podcast. And her name is Amelia, named after the brave pilot, Amelia Earhart, who is a courageous woman who flew planes. Amelia will be hopefully joining us on the podcast throughout the years. So I don't believe that it is going to replace physicians. But more importantly, AI can do something called hallucinations. In other words, the doctor always has to supervise or check the AI, and that's why I don't believe it will replace physicians. And the reason is that the way AI works, the way large language models work specifically, is they are autocomplete. They are trained on the internet and other whatever data you train it on, by completing the last sentence. So that is how it works. People, most, unless you're like really deep into how AI works, many people are not aware. It's simply an autocomplete. It's trained on the entire internet and scientific data to complete the last sentence of a word. That's how it learns or trains. So if you ask it to do something, say medical, and it doesn't have the answer, it will hallucinate, it'll confabulate information. So that's why it's critical that a doctor always supervises the AI. That's why I tell physicians and computer scientists when I lecture, say, at the universities or hospitals, treat AI like it's your medical student. If it writes your note, you have to read every word and check it and correct it before you sign it. because the doctor would have to sign a student's note. The doctor would have to sign the AI note that I told you about with ambient listening, right? If the AI is reading x-rays, for example, there's a radiologist that's going to oversee that. So the doctor always has to sign their name to everything that's done by a trainee, a student, a resident. AI is like your student or resident. You have to supervise it at all times. And that's why it's really not going to replace physicians. It's going to assist physicians. So yes, it can help write the note, but you still have to read every word. And back to your thing about saving time, they found, you know, Abel Coe at Northwestern found it wasn't really saving time because you have to read every word and check it. So it's not that it's saving so much time, but it's providing much greater care, much better care. The quality of care in the world is going to improve dramatically through AI applications to whatever medical diagnosis you may have. It will help prompt better solutions, better care, even better drug discovery. Like, for whatever medical conditions you have, John, AI is currently being used for drug discovery, for new drugs that don't exist that will be better than whatever you're taking now in terms of medication. So the possibilities are endless. This is why I've stopped doing everything. I spend 24/7 of my time, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, doing only this, because I truly see how the applications that we will develop for artificial intelligence and patient care will save millions of lives worldwide, especially in places that don't have access to care. I'll give you an example. A physician who was working for Google as a side project for fun at Google developed a way to look at the eye using computer vision and diagnose diabetes. It's called diabetic retinopathy. She then tested it in rural India, where they don't have access to doctors, and rural Thailand, where they don't have access to doctors, and was able to screen for a disease that would, if untreated, will lead to blindness. So this example of how AI can be used worldwide for healthcare for people that don't have access to care is what drives me to want to do this not-for-profit work in AI and medicine. The potential there to like really be a difference maker and save lives. I know that, for example, if I use AI to do better with following the guidelines for heart failure, that I could save millions of lives worldwide just by these algorithms that could be used to check what medications people are on and identify opportunities to improve care. So the possibilities are endless. How these applications are going to impact people that maybe don't have good access to medical care, it's going to be transformative in ways that you and I cannot even imagine. And all this has evolved so rapidly in the last couple of years because of one. The reason so rapidly in the last 2 years is the difference maker is prior to 2 years ago, what we were doing in healthcare was computer vision reading images, which is great. But now LLMs and their ability to solve problems is so transformative that, you know, everyone in healthcare is trying to leverage how can we use LLMs to solve medical problems. So I can't wait for the day when Amelia sits here with us and finds AI solutions to medical problems with us. It's going to be unbelievable. We just were in Orlando for the AI in Medicine Conference. Some of the best things presented there were high school students who came up with ideas of how to use LLMs to solve medical problems. I wish I could share those with you. And I hope that one day when your children are in high school that they will meet with us on how to use LLMs to solve medical problems. It was incredible to see how brilliant these high school kids were using LLMs to solve medical problems. Because they're, you know, Amelia is born with this, from the day she came into this world, all of this technology is in her fingertips. And I know that you're very skilled in using all of it, and that you make sure your kids know how to do it at a very high level. So then when they're in high school or college, and if they choose to work with us on this, they're going to be amazing at solving problems. Mm-hmm. See, Amelia is so excited about this potential of how she's going to use AI to solve problems when she's in high school.
And she's younger than ChatGPT.
So I can't wait to interview Amelia 17 years from now or so, and see what her thoughts are on all of this. It's going to be cool.
Dude, by then, AI is going to be using AI to further better AI.
I have no doubt that that is a fact. We're already, they're using AI to check AI. It's already commonplace. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, John, I want to do a shout out, everyone, to John Holmblatt. John Holmblatt has been podcasting before anyone even knew what the word podcasting meant. And he has been so kind to bring over a decade of talent in podcasting production to the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine. So, John, thanks for bringing your over a decade of expertise to this field and being willing to host the future of medicine worldwide.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I feel honored to be here and to be helping out, to be a part of something so special and innovative and forward-thinking.
And thanks for Amelia to be here as the future of healthcare solutions in the world. And I can't wait for her to contribute to the work that we do here in the college. And we hope to see all of you again on Melvin Mondays. So John will be releasing our podcast twice a month, the second and fourth Mondays every month. So he's going to launch the preliminary ones now, and then starting in January of 2025, which is about a month from now, we'll be going full force with interviewing experts worldwide on how to apply artificial intelligence to patient care, making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Exciting times.
All right. Well, John, we'll see you on Melvin Mondays.
See you next Melvin Monday. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. If you guys enjoyed what you heard today and want to be part of our AI for Good movement, you can go to www.americancollegeaim.org. You can become a member of the college. We have over 20 different lab groups doing research collaboratively between physicians and computer scientists on all areas and specialties within medicine. For example, we have lab groups in AI in cardiology, AI in pulmonary, AI in critical care, AI in gastroenterology, AI in neurology, endocrinology, AI in surgery, AI in pediatrics, AI in psychiatry. If it's a medical subspecialty, we have a lab group of world-renowned faculty working on publications in science. Also, we're going to be having a national meeting in 2025 in Chicago. If you come to our website, you can register to attend.
If you feel so inclined, check out the website. There is a donation button. You can show some support if you feel like it.
We are a 501(c) not-for-profit organization doing AI for good. If you like what you heard today and want to support our movement, you can donate on our website. There's a donate button that you can click. So hoping to see you guys on the podcast again soon. John will release the next one 2 weeks from today. Thanks for listening.
See you. I gotta go donate some more snacks to Ami's little cup here. So, see you guys.
Thanks for listening.
You say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Say bye-bye, Amelia.
Bye. Bye-bye, friends. Good job. Bye.